Everybody said,
amen.
Amen. And you may be dismissed, young people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus is here and anything can happen. Anything. We may see a time when, well, we're having church here too, where people may be coming in that door out there. We're entering some interesting times of the world. And God is doing some interesting work. So today my message is on the power of one, because you and I as individuals have a lot to do with that, what God is doing in the world today. Amen?
Amen.
Joshua chapter 23, verse 10 and 11. This is where Joshua said that he was up there in age. He was very old and everything, and he called his leaders together, Israel, and he wanted to encourage them to obey the Lord. He wanted them to not to turn to other gods, not to even mention their names in order to continue to have the anointing of God upon their lives. And that's where this here scripture comes from. One man of you, he was telling his leaders and the people of Israel, one man of you shall chase 1,000 for the Lord your God. He it is that fights for you as he has promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. Joshua was encouraging the people to continue on because God was delivering them from all the nations that surrounded them, trying to destroy them. And God himself intervened in the people's lives in order to push back. And Joshua is telling the people, if you continue obeying God, see, there's a condition here. He told them, you continue keeping the commandments, keeping God's word, and not bowing to other gods, not even mentioning their names. God will continue to fight the battle for you, and he will keep those nations from overtaking you. You got to read it, because it's our God that's moving in the nation's life. And he's still moving here this morning. He's still moving here the same way this morning. And that's what Joshua was encouraging the people before, because he was up there in age and he knew he wasn't going to be around. He wanted to make sure these people would still honor and obey God so that the Lord would continue to move in their life. You and I need to do that today as an individual in our homes and our jobs and our schools, wherever we are. We need to stay away from other gods. We need to stay away from the things God hates. Amen? Because God says, don't even mention their name. There must be something to it if he told us that. And so we have to do the same thing. One man, one woman, one person with God, you're a majority. No matter what's coming against you. It was said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. What I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. See, one godly man or woman can make a difference. One person can make a difference. Even in the darkest circumstances of your life, one person can make a difference in your life. It says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You and I as individuals are salt in this dark world. We're the ones that God is using to spread the gospel. You and I are the ones that are spreading the goodness throughout the world through the word of God. It's an one-by-one type person. It's you and I. It's you and I that God, we are the salt. And if we're not doing what God has called us to do, we're worthless. We're worthless in impacting the world for the cause of Christ. See, the Lord's telling us that, like salt, it should make a difference in situations that we are in. When we're salt and light. You might be the only Christian in your family. You might be the only Christian on your job. You might be the only Christian in your school. Sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? But even by yourself there, or even the only Christian in your neighborhood, which is a lot of times. But even as the only Christian in there, you and I can impact wherever we're at, even if we're one. Did you know that? If you're all by yourself, the only Christian, God working through you, you can impact your whole surrounding in your area and your circumstance of life. See, God can do a lot with a little. Did you know that? That's why you never complain, by the way. You say, oh, I don't have enough money. With God, you got a lot of money because God owns it all. No matter where it is, God owns it. So you say, when I got this amount of money in my hand, Lord, bless this money. You know, I was almost tempted to do this when Bob was taking tithes this morning. And even though there's few in here this morning, we could still impact our world with what God can do with the people in here. I was going to say, everybody reach in and take another dollar above what you already gave and stick it in the offering. What's that do? It stretches our faith. You say, well, I don't have enough money. Well, maybe that's the reason we don't have enough money, because we don't trust our God. But if we give out of need, that's when God moves. Because, see, a little to God is a lot. He can multiply that, multiply it, multiply it, multiply it. And we need to remember that. How many have ever heard of Edward Kimball or Henrietta Mears? You have? Okay, we got somebody in here. That's good. Anybody else? Way back in the corner at the Nesbitts? Ah, okay. Kimball was a shoe salesman. He worked at the shoe store in Chicago and felt led by the Lord to share the gospel with young Dwight, a fellow salesman. Dwight responded to the message, gave his heart to Jesus Christ, and ultimately went on to be the greatest evangelist of his generation. It was because of Edward Kimball's faithfulness to share the gospel that the Lord reached D.L. Moody, who in turn reached millions. One person, the power of one person, witnessing to one person, touched millions of lives. If you and I are not out doing what God has called us to do, if we're not sharing with excitement and enthusiasm what God has done in our lives, think what you're missing when it comes to eternity. You know, I wonder if those tears, I'm just speculating, this is just Lynn theory stuff again. When we get to heaven, when the Bible says God's going to wipe away our tears, I wonder part of those tears, well, when we see this magnificent God that we serve and love, if we see all the opportunities that could have been ours if we would have just been where we belong, if we would just had a fire and a zeal within our hearts to want to share the gospel at every turn we've ever had up on this earth, and to share it with that hard-to-get-along neighbor or the people at work, if we would have just opened our mouth and stood for righteousness, what would happen and impact the world for all eternity in somebody else's life? Look at here. Edward Kimball did by reaching that one man, D.L. Moody. One man. And that man reached millions for Jesus Christ. What about Henrietta Mears? The power of one person. In 1928, she was called to teach a Sunday school class at First Presbyterian Church in Hollywood. Under her direction, the class grew from 400 to 4,000. She later went on to found Gospel Light Publishing and Forest Home Christian Conference Center in Southern California. Of the people she influenced, 400 went into the full-time Christian service. 400. 400, because she accepted the position to teach Sunday school. Among them were Bill Bright and Billy Graham. It's the power of one people. We limit our God who we serve because we think we are not the person that God could use. We never know. Because, see, if we're faithful and available for what God has got in our life, if we see something that we could stand up for the things of God, and we need to do it because we don't know what God is going to do in those lives as well as in ours. And these people, they were just one person doing what they're supposed to do as believers, and look how God used them. And look at the millions of people have been changed because of one person speaking out and being faithful in ministry as well as witness. And many times God's people will not get involved with anything because apathy. That's one of the traits of the last days, by the way. Apathy. Don't care. Some people are so overwhelmed with all the bad news in the world, they just want to sit at home and just say, I don't want to think about it. That's wrong thinking. That only tells me we got to speed up. That only tells me we should be getting involved. We should put aside even some of our other personal desires in order to serve the Lord even more as we see the days approaching, because our opportunities are running out. And once that trumpet blows or we die, our time is done. We don't have any more opportunities for God to say, I'm going to use you. Amen? Yeah. See, there's millions of unsung heroes, millions of them. Names that are not in lights or they're not in books. People in small and large churches like this one that impact lives. Did you hear that? Even in small churches like this, there's somebody, and maybe if not all of us, God can use us to impact a city and a state and a nation. We don't know what God's going to do at Crossfire. I'm not discouraged one bit. I believe God can do a lot with a little. And most of the time when you get into Scripture, God does more with a little than he does a lot. Because he's got a purpose and a plan, and I believe he does for this body. And I'm excited. But individually, we as one, the power of one person is what God is looking at. See, that's how God changed this world, by one person. Galatians 6:9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. We got to stay the course, people. We got to stay the course. In other words, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Just because you see what's happening around you, don't give up and saying it's too overwhelming. It is for you and I, but it isn't for God. We need to be faithful in where we're at in the end times or where we're at right now for God to use us. In proper season, if we don't faint, we will reap a harvest. Look at this gentleman who witnessed to D.L. Moody. Did he reap a harvest? He did, because he was faithful in witnessing his salvation to this man, D.L. Moody, a fellow salesman. He was faithful. And you know, that's exciting. Even in my career in the past as a salesperson, I've witnessed to different people, and I can think of people in my mind that I've witnessed to who have led their whole families to the Lord, that were once lost themselves, and they went into their families, and they witnessed to their families and got their families in the church, and their families God in ministry, and they were doing works for God. I can't take any credit for that. I was just one person, but God used my life to touch people's lives too. And I want him to continue to do that. Not just in a church platform here inside these walls, but during the week, I want to be that salt and light. And I want to stand for righteousness and stand for the things of God when I hear or trying to be pressured with the things of the world. I want to stand up for the things of God as one person. I can change the people around, not me personally, but how I live, how I speak, how I act. The power of one person. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know something? With God, one can be strong. If you say, well, I'm a weak person. But you know, if you have Jesus Christ living in you, you are a strong person. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're a strong person. And you can be wiser than other people too. You can say, well, that worldly people out there, they're pretty wise. Well, you can be wiser than them if you have Jesus Christ living within you. He can give you wisdom from heaven. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Do you lack wisdom today? Do you feel you lack wisdom today? Then you need to go to Almighty God and say, Lord, I lack wisdom, and I would ask you for wisdom from heaven right now in order to deal with life. God promised you right here. He says, I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you liberally. I'll give you wisdom. And he will. If you doubt that, you won't get it. But I tell you, if you really go to God and say, Lord, I need that wisdom today, he's going to give it to you, because it's his word, not mine. He promised it, I didn't. And God's not a liar like a man. God says, I'm going to give it, he's going to give it. If you need wisdom, you need to ask for it. And then we can conquer. 2 Timothy 2:3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We are to be people of endurance. Because we have Christ living in us, we have endurance in us, and we can overcome the hardest parts of life. It's just like the young lady that had taken her life last week, that had the cancer, the brain cancer. How many heard that in the news? She had taken her life using whatever excuse it was. But I'll tell you what, I even put a little message in the face thing that was on the Facebook about it too. Because see, she didn't know that maybe God may have interceded in her life and supernaturally healed that cancer. And she would have been totally changed. And she would have been a testimony for the kingdom of God that could have touched millions. But she decided to be God herself. And you say, well, that's easy for you to stand up there and preach that. You don't know what pain she was going through. No, I don't. I don't. But you know something? I know what God says about it. And he is the author. Yes. He is the owner of my body. He owns it. So no matter what pain I have, I am to endure as a good soldier of the cross. I'm to endure it. I watched my own dad die of painful cancer right up to the end. He endured all the way to the end. He could have done many multitudes of people, and maybe even in your families, you've watched it, could have taken their life. We don't do that because we serve a living God. We honor God, people. We endure to the end. Romans 8:37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Through him, through Jesus Christ, if we are going through tough times of life, if we feel rejected, if we feel hurt, if we feel empty, if we feel whatever, feeling, we don't go by that. We go by the faith of what God's word says. He says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're more than a conqueror. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and you will be a You will be more than a conqueror. You will conquer everything. They may be tough. They may be hard. They may seem impossible. But Jesus says, we're more than conquerors. We're more than conquerors. Doesn't that get you excited? That means you're going to make it. I don't feel like I am, Pastor. Well, see, you used the wrong word. Feel. This says faith. This says faith. You don't understand it. The feelings don't want it. But I tell you what, the faith says you can be a conqueror. Lord, I don't know if I can make it, but I know if I keep my eyes fixed on you, I'm going to make it. Because your word says it. You told me I was going to make it, and I'm going to make it. That's faith. Amen? See, often we're overwhelmed by a sense of personal insignificance. You ever feel that way, insignificant? Do you ever feel that way? I have. I'm a nobody. How could God ever use somebody like me? I'm not that well educated. I'm not that smart. I'm not that good. Well, I shouldn't say that. Whatever. Well, the reason I stopped there is because I didn't want to counteract the Bible. The Bible says I'm beautifully and wonderfully made. But you still, you get the point? You just don't feel like how God can use somebody like me. I just don't have the pizzazz. I don't have the charisma, whatever that takes, or I don't have that ability. You know something? We can name off a million different things why we can't. Can't we? We can do that. But I tell you what, often a person's feelings, it's like an expendable commodity is what it is. That's all it is. We feel a sense of complete uselessness believing I'm just one. And what can just one person do? Understand, God can use you to make a difference in this world, in the lives of others, and in this church if you let him do it. He can use you. And you know, that's why I encourage people, you need to come to church and be regular attenders. I was reading an article this week on a church site. It talked about attendance in churches today and how people, if they miss one Sunday a month or two Sundays a month, how they set the percentage of the church off by them not being there, and how important, to make a long story short, how important it is that you and I be faithful to God in our attendance in church. Because we set it off in the wrong direction when we're not faithful. And so we need to do that. We need to commit to God because we have, as one person, have power in many areas of life that you and I aren't even thinking about that God sees. And it's even in our tents because, see, when somebody's not here today, I can think of some of the people aren't here today that I know they're out of town and doing this and that because I understand things happen. But I tell you what, those people have power that are not here today too. Did you know that? You have power sitting in here today. Your life is impacting somebody's life by sitting in this church building today. Helen Keller, who overcame the adversity of being blind and deaf to become one of the 20th century's leading humanitarians. Helen Keller said, "I'm only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do something that I can do." That's pretty good, isn't it? That's from somebody's blind and deaf. One person. And look what God is, how that woman was used in this world. By making yourself available, being bold, being courageous, and having faith in every aspect of your life. You and I have Jesus Christ on our side. He lives within us. If you're in here this morning and you're a blood-bought Christian and you have Jesus Christ within you, you are more than a conqueror, people. Remember that. You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ. If there's something impossible in your life, then you need to call upon God. If you need your faith growing, then maybe something, for instance, if you need your faith to grow in a certain area, pursue that area even if it's out of your comfort zone. Financially, if you're stretched financially, trust God, grow your faith, put more money into the ministry. Grow your faith. Say, "This isn't easy for me to do." But see, that's how God does it, because you see, God is faithful. Did you know that? He's faithful in every area of life. When you and I step out by faith, if you say, "Well, Lord, I feel a call to teach Sunday school," then you need to get involved and start a Sunday school class. Did you know that? But I'm kind of scared to do that. I remember the first time I taught an adult Sunday school class in Fargo, North Dakota, when the pastor walked up to me and said, "Lynn, I want you to start teaching." I was teaching the little dude kids. And the pastor walked in and he said, "I was listening to you this morning." He said, "It's time for you to move up to the adults." I think I turned white right in front of him. I think the blood just flowed right out of me. I said, "Oh, okay." And I remember the first time I did it, but I said, "Lord, if I don't do it, I'll never grow in you." And so I walked forward that morning. I can remember, I'm sure my pants were shaking like this. And there was no wind in the building. But I'm sure the people could see that. But you know, as I started, I sensed the power of the Holy Spirit whelming up within me as I began to speak. And I just said, "Lord, that's you." And he gave me the ability to carry forth and to move forward. And that's how we stretch our faith, by trusting our God. The scriptures are filled with example after example after example of the power of one person that changed history and changed the future by being faithful to the Lord. God gives us many examples how he worked through one person at a time. And you and I miss so much of what God's got for us in our generation here, because we got so much modern technology and everything, and we let all that stuff do it. I say, let us do it. As a person, stand out in faith. It says I want to give you one example here. The one little boy who is instrumental in feeding the 5,000. It says in John chapter 6, 9 and 13, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Isn't that our thoughts right away? What are they? Some of the people probably overheard him, and maybe, maybe some of the people stand and say, "Hey, kid, get out of the way. There's all you got is a few fish and some loaves, or get out of here." Who knows? But you can almost see it in their society today, because they look down on him, because for one, he's a little boy, and secondly, he didn't have much to offer, but he was there. He was available. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Just a few people. And that didn't include the women and the children. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost." Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. See, God can use a little and make a lot out of it. But that one little boy, he was available. He was available for God to do that supernatural work in. God uses what you have to fill a need which you never could have filled. God uses where you are to take you where you never could have gone. God uses what you can do to accomplish what you never could have done. God uses you, who you are, to let you become who you never could have been. Did you know that? I think it's been interesting. People are very interesting, and I've met a lot of interesting people within the body of Christ, especially as well as in the world. But I've met people who are just kind of introverted within themselves and could hardly even look up and look at anybody. I've met people like that in the church. And it's fun to meet people like that and encourage them in the things of God and watch God change their lives supernaturally right in front of you. Because the Holy Spirit starts moving through them, and pretty soon they're smiling and they're shaking hands and they're speaking out and they're raising their hands in a class and they're doing this and that, and they'll come to you and say, I never thought I would ever do that before. Well, the reason that because is they made themselves available to God and allowed the Holy Spirit to move through them and to change their whole world. And we miss out on so much what God has done. He didn't just create us up on this earth to be pew sitters and chair sitters and just be a humdrum person. He has a purpose and a plan for every individual. And so many of us miss what God has got for our lives, because we take it for granted and we don't get into the Word and we read about this God that we serve. See, it's not based on one's ability, but one's availability. Our availability to God. If you make yourself available to God, even in your personal life, watch what God will do in your life. He will supernaturally begin to do things that you never dreamt possible. But if you give up, you will never see. But if you continue in the Word, read the Word, pray, seek the Lord, fellowship, come together in prayer, watch what God will begin to do in your life. Amen? Amen. See, God uses those who make themselves available to Him. He will use you if you make yourself available to Him too. That is the key. Are you making yourself available to Him? Are we doing that? Isaiah 6:8 says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Did you see the quick response that Isaiah gave God? It wasn't a hesitation. He saw a need. He heard God say, I need you. And Isaiah accepted the challenge right there on the spot. He said, send me, God. Send me. That's why God says, pray to the Lord of the harvest. God wants to raise up laborers into His harvest field. Are you one of the laborers? Is He calling you to be a laborer? Then you need to be a laborer and say, here I am, Lord. Use me as a laborer. When I get up in the morning, I say, Lord, I want to be one of the laborers. I want to be used today to speak into somebody's life or change somebody's circumstance through you. It's always through Him. Always. Make yourself available to God. Do everything He asks you to do. See, we could have never gotten this far even with Crossfire Assembly if we have people that are committed in this body. Look where we're at today, people. It isn't just one person here. Individually, each one of us doing our part is where we're at today in this church. Isn't that exciting? Huh? I know it's hard to get excited when you got a few people and you don't have 3,000, but hey, praise the Lord. I'm excited because I'm the power of one person. I'm excited about Jesus. I don't need 3,000 people in a church to get excited about Jesus. I'm excited because I serve and I read who this Jesus is, and He saved me from an eternal hell. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm passionate about Jesus. And I tell you what, people, hold on to your chairs, because God's going to do something in Crossfire too. I don't know when and how and what way He's going to do it, but He's going to do it. He may even bring another individual in here that's available to say, hey, I'm the person that God told me to come in and speak into this body. You never know. I'm anticipating. Are you anticipating? That's good. Be encouraged in the things of God. Listen to this one. It was the boldness of one little girl. One little girl who was instrumental in healing a world military leader. 2 Kings 5:1-3, it's about Naaman healed the leprosy. It says, "Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captives out of the land of Israel. A little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, 'Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy.'" A little girl spoke to the head man's wife. She could have kept her little mouth shut because she was taken captive as a maid in the house, but she stood up and spoke up. You want to know why? Because she probably, if you read the story, she probably heard Elisha and Elijah. She probably listened to him. She probably saw them when they healed, when he brought the little boy back from the dead, when he was raised from the dead. She probably was there. We don't know. But she wanted to make sure that this woman knew that her husband, if she could only know Elisha, he would be healed of his leprosy. Because that one little girl opened her mouth by faith and spoke it out. You remember the story, don't you? He didn't want to have to go into the Jordan River. But God says, or Elisha said, "You go down there and you dip 7 times in here and your flesh will come back like a baby's." That's the little girl who told the woman that you go see that prophet. We need to tell people, if you're not sharing people and saying, "Hey, you need to come to a church where we believe the Bible." That's all you need to say. You want to come to a church where we believe the Bible. We don't do things to make you emotional. We do things to use your mind to make you to hear what God has got to say to you. See, it takes guts to say Jesus, doesn't it, today? It takes guts. But because a few were bold enough to do it, millions have come to know Christ. And I thank God for every brother and sister in Christ is willing to stand up and say Jesus to a dark world, because Jesus is the light of the world. This is a true story of something that happened just a few years ago at the University of South Carolina. There was a professor of philosophy there who was deeply committed atheist. His primary goal for one required class was to spend the entire semester attempting to prove that God did not exist. We got a lot of those in our colleges today. His students were always afraid to argue with him because of impeccable logic. Did you hear that? You got to ask God for wisdom. His students were always afraid. For 20 years, he had taught this class, and no one had ever had the courage to go against him. Sure, some had argued in his class at times, but no one ever really gone against him. And you'll see what I mean just a little bit here. Nobody would go against him because he had a reputation. At the end of every semester, on the last day, he would say to the class of 300 students, "If there's anyone here who still believes in God, stand up." In 20 years, nobody ever stood up. They knew what he was going to do next. He would say, "Because anyone who believes in God is a fool." Intimidation, right? If God existed, he could stop this piece of chalk from hitting the ground and breaking. Such a simple task to prove God is God, and yet he can't even do that. And every year, he would drop the chalk onto the tile of the classroom, and it would shatter into 100 pieces. All the students could do nothing but stop and stare. That's all they would do. Most of the students were convinced that God did not exist. See how he brainwashed these little minds of mush? Certainly a number of Christians had slipped through, but for 20 years they had been too afraid to stand up. A few years ago, there was a freshman who happened to get enrolled into the class. He was a Christian, and he heard the stories about this professor. He had to take the class because it was one of the required classes for his major, and he was afraid. But 3 months that semester, he prayed every morning that he would have the courage to stand up no matter what the professor said or what the class thought. Nothing they said or did could ever shatter his faith, he hoped. Finally, the day came. The professor said, "If there's anyone here who still believes in God, stand up." The professor in the class of 300 people looked at him, shocked, as he stood up at the back room. The professor shouted, "You fool!" If nothing I have said all semester has convinced you that God does not exist, then you are a fool. He proceeded to drop the chalk. Excuse me. He could keep this piece of chalk. If God existed, he could keep this piece of chalk from breaking when it hit the ground. He proceeded to drop the chalk. But as he did, it slipped out of his fingers, off his shirt cuff, onto his pleats of his pants, down his leg and off his shoe, and as it hit the ground, it simply rolled away unbroken. The professor's jaw dropped as he stared at the chalk. He looked up at the young man, and then he ran out of the lecture hall. The young man who had stood up proceeded to walk to the front of the room and share his faith in Jesus for the next half hour. 300 students stayed and listened as he told of God's love for them and the power through Jesus Christ. One person. The power of one person. That's what happens in your and my life too when we do not let fear dominate us, but we stand against all odds and we trust God, the one who lives within us, that we are the conqueror. We are the head and not the tail. We are the ones that stand up and stand for what we believe. Just like this young man. Luke 12:8 says, "Always I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God." I love that scripture. Every time you profess Christ in a public or personal thing, in a home or whatever, that Jesus says your name to the angels. See? You see, Ruth? She believes. She trusts Jesus. She said my name. Angels, you see her? That's what happens when we profess. No matter how hard that might be, witness and be an example. Because Jesus is going to confess your name before angels. Isn't that exciting? The angels going, huh? Because they don't understand. They're learning from us. And think about the one woman instrumental in saving a nation, her courage, Esther 4:14. "For if thou altogether hold thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this." That was Esther. God used the power of one woman to save a nation because she stood up by faith. Always remember, the Lord can use people like he did Esther in whatever position of life you're in. The Lord knows all things. He knows the past. He knows the present. He knows the future. And he functions accordingly to that. He is also almighty. He is basically, he'll do whatever he likes without violating the free moral agent of anyone. He doesn't force us, but he knows how to use us. It says in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Amen? Amen? This is Gilbert Chesterton said, "Courage is almost a contradiction in terms. It means a strong desire to taking the form of a readiness to die." I like that. And then in Philippians 4:19, it says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Who's going to do that? My God shall supply. The God I serve. One man with courage makes a majority, Andrew Jackson said. Did you hear that? One man with courage makes a majority with Christ in you as Christians. Deuteronomy 31:6-8, "To Israel, be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." And then he said to Joshua, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it." One man, Joshua, God called one man. Isaiah was encouraging him to go in. He was the man that God was going to use to get the people in. One person. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. People, I tell you, I get so excited when I read scripture like this, because that's my God speaking to you and I, telling us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us the strength. We can enter situations of this life. We can stand for what we believe in under the severest persecution. We can stand by the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what God wants to do. If there's something in your personal life you're having a hard time overcoming, you need to do it through Christ Jesus, because he is there. He will never forsake you. He will never fail you. He'll never let you down. He'll give you the ability. He'll give you the wisdom. He'll give you the strength. Amen? 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 He'll do it. He'll do it. One man instrumental in saving mankind from extinction. Who is that? Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Wow. One man, Noah. Against all odds, he was persecuted. You read the story. Read the circumstances under his life. He didn't see one salvation for 120 years. But he stayed faithful, because God would never fail him or forsake him. And he saved a nation. Abraham, in verse 8, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went, because he trusted God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. How come we let up on God's promises so much, and we see these people of faith in Scripture that God gave us to let us see that he's a faithful God? If you and I do the same thing, we will see the harvest of our faith being processed. You put it in God's hands. You continue to pray. You continue to think. If it's health, if it's money you need, if it's relationship, if it's whatever in your life, if it's a job you need, stand on the Word of God and don't let it down, because God said he promised it to you. He promised it. On a gloomy day in 1857, a man in New York City by the name of Jeremiah Lathnier scanned the morning newspaper as he rode to his office. He was distressed to read the depression gripping the nation was causing fear and panic among the people. Factories were stopped, production, and thousands were unemployed. Although Lathnier was not a big industrialist, but only a clerk. He had one important distinction. He was a man who had great faith in God. Concerned with the grim economic situation, he sent a note to all his business acquaintances telling them that each day at noon, a prayer meeting would be held in his office. With high hopes, he arranged 20 chairs in a circle, but the first day, no one came. I can relate. All alone, he prayed fervently that God would bring about a great change in him and in America. The second day, he was encouraged, for a few friends joined him. A short time later, a similar gathering was started on Wall Street and another on William Street, and finally a fourth on Broadway. Then, like wildfire, the movement spread to all parts of the country. The moral tone of the nation was affected, and there was a great upsurge in the spiritual life of the people. Some historians say that this effort of united prayer and faith was an integral part of the improvement in the economy which soon followed. We have a prayer meeting this evening. And some Christians think it really doesn't mean a whole lot. It doesn't really mean a whole lot. You and I don't know that when we meet together for a prayer meeting in this church, what our Almighty God is doing through Crossfire Assembly to spread this prayer meeting throughout this city, throughout this state, throughout this nation, how we, like others, can impact if we're faithful to God. This man stayed faithful. He didn't give up just because there was nobody in the prayer meeting. He came back, and it started to bloom. And look what God did. This is a true story. Matthew 17:20, and I'm almost getting close to done. I'm on page one. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing. Nothing. Many will miss the Lord's will, and they'll miss his blessings because of unbelief. Did you know that? Because of unbelief. That satanic spirit of unbelief will come into your heart and life and rob you from what God had promised. And many Christians go out of this world living their whole life never experiencing the full promises that God gave them because they give up because of unbelief. Because you know why? Because they're doing this. They're doing this. That's all they're doing. But they don't look up. They don't look up the source. And they miss what God's got. One man, Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One man did that. Through Adam, sin entered the world, and death is a consequence. Romans 5, 18-19, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men, unto justification of life. For as by one man disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be righteous. Who was that? It was Jesus, wasn't it? Abigail Nelson, person, said, in God's economy, one man redeemed the world by stretching out his arms and giving of himself a perfect sacrifice for us all. This was one man, one man. Some say, well, that's because he was God in the flesh. But, you know, the scripture teaches that he didn't use all of his godly powers to do everything. Jesus walked this earth by faith, people, when you read it. When you get into the scriptures and read it, everything he did, he said, what I see the Father doing, I do. What I hear the Father saying, I say. He did that by faith. He was an example to us. That's why we need to do the same thing. We got to do what God says and say what he says. We don't say the negative and the devil's words. We say God's words. If you got something going on in your household, don't speak the devil's word and saying this is never going to change. No, you speak what God says and watch it change. I'm keeping myself from going further. Author unknown. I tried in vain a thousand ways, my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. And all I need, the Bible says, is Jesus. My soul is night, my heart is steel. I cannot see, I cannot feel. For light, for my life, I must appeal to Jesus. He dies, he lives, he reigns, he pleads. There's love in all his words and deeds. All a guilty sinner needs is Jesus. Through some will mock and some will blame, in spite of fear, in spite of shame, I'll go to him because his name is Jesus. Let's all stand, please. Jesus was left alone in the garden, tortured with no one to defend or comfort. All alone, knowing that if he didn't finish the task, all would be lost. It's not easy being one sometimes, is it? It's not easy. Hebrews 12, 2-3 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame and set down at his right hand of the throne of God. And in verse 3 it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Jesus was our example, people. He was our example. The Lord is saying, be available, be bold, be courageous, keep the faith. You can never tell the impact you may have on another's life by your actions or your lack of actions. Consider this fact in your venture life, because in 2 Timothy 4:8 it says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Oh, what an exciting future God's people have. Hallelujah. With every head bowed, I want to make an invitation if you're in here. I'm going to do it. You say, well, man, I think we know just about everybody in here, don't we? Well, that's all right. I let the Holy Spirit do the work. I'm not the Holy Spirit. But God commands me to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And the Lord told me that through Jesus is the only way, the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through Him. And if you're in here this morning and you say, well, if I died, I don't know if I would go to heaven. Or you might be in here this morning and say, well, I know, I just hope I'll get to heaven because I've done so many good things. I've helped people and treated my spouse or my children and perfectly and never swear. And I don't drink, smoke, cuss, and chase. And I'm going to trust God's going to take me because I'm such a good person. If that's in your mind, you will miss heaven by a million miles because the Bible says our righteousness is but a stench in the nostrils of God. And the only righteousness that will get you into heaven is the righteousness of the one who hung on the cross, and His name is Jesus. And Jesus said, ye must be born again because our spirits are dead to Him until we come and invite Him into our life. He renews our spirit and we come alive in Him through the power of the Holy Spirit. Is there anybody in here this morning that you walked in and say, I want to know, should I die, I would go to heaven. I want to know that. I'm not sure, and I want to know. Is there anybody? It takes courage sometimes to be one. But you know, when we get saved too, it's only one person. It's you that's got to go forward because God doesn't say, I'll save you if so-and-so comes up here with you. No, it's one. You got to come by yourself. Heavenly Father, we come to You in the name of Jesus. And we love You and we praise You, Father. We glorify You for what You did. You are our God. There's one God, the triune God. And Jesus is the one who hung on the cross and died for all my filthy sins and the sins of the world. And we love You for that, Father, for Jesus being willing to be the one to come and hang on that cross and take the shame and the humiliation and the hatred and the rejection of mankind. But He stayed there because He loved us so much. And Father, we come to You this morning as a corporate body and thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the Holy Ghost that lives within us. We thank You, Heavenly Father, for supplying all of our needs. And we thank You, Heavenly Father, for the strength You give us from day to day. And Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies are new from everlasting to everlasting. And Your faithfulness is from everlasting to everlasting because You are an eternal God. And Lord, I pray those blessings upon everyone represented in here this morning, that You would supernaturally move in their lives this week, and that that person of the Holy Spirit would convict our hearts and lives should we move away from You and Your Word, Father. Convict us, Father, to do what You've called us to do and to be the people You've called us to be. Meet all the needs, Father, that are here today. Any physical needs in the body right now, I speak the divine healing power of Jesus upon every person in here that needs a physical touch. The Word of God says that by Jesus' stripes we are healed in 1 Peter 2:24. In Isaiah 53:5, it says that by Jesus' stripes we are and we're healed. Not gonna be. It says we are and we're healed according to Scripture. And Lord, You said You sent Your Son Jesus, and You healed us. Father, we receive that right now. And that You will supply all of our need according to Your riches through Christ Jesus. And Lord, we thank You for Jesus. We praise You. In Jesus' name, I pray this, and everybody says, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Have a blessed day in Jesus' name. Have some fellowship. I will pray with anyone who would like prayer. Rod, if you want to come up here. Bob, if you want to come up here, if you're in here. If anybody want prayer, we'll be up here for just a few minutes to pray with you.